This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Colleen Brackovich is here, one of the managing partners of the brand that is Zachariah Brown. It's all about elder law. We have a lot to get to, wills, power of attorney, estate planning, and more. So give us a call. And I just said, it's so nice to know good attorneys, especially when it comes to elder law, because I am what you would call an elder now, 66 and a half, and this home purchased recently. And, you know, my daughter, I want to give her that opportunity. I said, how do you go about that? And this is what she said.
Oh, Rob was talking about, is it possible to let somebody have a choice to receive, you know, something from you first before the rest of your family gets an opportunity? And the answer is yes. It's called a right of first refusal. So you can give somebody the right to have or to purchase something from your estate first. And if they don't want it, then it can go to a secondary beneficiary.
Now, so, what about when it comes to gifting? Can you gift something large to someone and they're still going to have to pay certain aspects of that gift depending on how large it is? But how does that work? Like a major thing, like a car or a house, how does that work?
So for the most part, you can give away whatever you want. The consequences are various, but oftentimes people think about what the tax rules are for the IRS, okay? And every year the IRS sets forth a gift tax exemption per person per year. So for this year, it's $17,000 per person per year. So what that means is the first $17,000 of value that you give away, you do not have to tell the IRS about. Okay. Now, if you go over that, it doesn't necessarily mean that taxes are due, but it means you are supposed to tell the IRS by way of filing a gift tax return. Okay. Now, in addition to the annual limit of the $17,000 per person per year, and that's this year. So every, you know, January 1st, the IRS has an opportunity to change, but that's what it is for this year. In addition to that annual amount, there is a lifetime exemption. So the lifetime exemption from this is including gift and estate tax. So anything that you give away during your lifetime and what you die with before you have to start paying that tax to the federal government, the limit right now is up to $12.9 million. Okay, so most of us don't need to worry about that anymore. If we're going over our $17,000, the IRS is just going to keep track of by how much, and the taxes don't come due until you have reached that $12.9 million lifetime limit. Okay. So now the other thing I guess I just want to bring up is that the gift and estate tax is on the gift giver, not the gift recipient. Okay, so if you are giving away a $117,000 item to a child, the first $17,000 is exempt. The $100,000 you tell the IRS about, and they deduct it from your lifetime limit. If somebody was to pay tax on that transaction, it is the gift giver, you, not your child, as the gift recipient. That's who pays the tax on that. Now, that differs then for Pennsylvania Medicaid, because a lot of people know that rule and they say, okay, well, I'm allowed to give away $17,000 every year to each of my kids. And yes, you can. The IRS permits that. But for Pennsylvania Medicaid purposes, which is a lot of families that we're dealing with, anything over $500 in the aggregate in 1 month is considered to be a gift. And so although people might be following what they feel are the rules for the IRS, they run into trouble down the road when they go to apply for Pennsylvania Medicaid to pay for nursing home care or home care expenses. So it's really important if you're planning to make a gift or thinking about making gifts that you get the advice of an experienced elder law attorney about how that's going to impact you into the future.
Listen. I am so glad she brought this up, because this is going in a different direction than I had planned to begin the program, because I'm just starting to realize something. So you really have to have the nuts and bolts of this stuff in place before you get to Medicaid age, so you are eligible for Medicaid and there's not something sticking out there that you just did that could really muddy the waters.
That's right. So I mean, obviously, none of us have that crystal ball that's going to tell us when nursing home care is breathing down our neck.
Well,
right?
Let me tell you, I'm looking at it more closely than you are. So it's pretty easy to figure out.
So, but ideally, you know, we want to try to do everything 5 years before we think we might need nursing home care. So
I was just thinking 5 years.
Yeah.
That makes all the sense in the world. Mm-hmm. All right, now, we're going to talk about a number of other things, but it's always about you driving the show by phoning in with all your questions when it comes to elder law, and it is wills, power of attorney, estate planning, especially estate planning. If you're the caregiver, taking care of your parents, dealing with Medicaid issues, but earlier today on one of my earlier shows in the 7 o'clock hour, we were talking about Medicare enrollment. We were talking about veterans, and that always makes veterans jump in. We had a woman call in talking about her late husband who had fought in 3 wars. And when I think of veterans, I always think of you because you're our go-to person when it comes to elder law. Talk to me a little bit about veterans and what they need to know, as once again, that is always a big topic of conversation on this program.
Sure. And there's many different veterans benefits out there for different, you know, healthcare versus cash assistance versus loans and educational assistance. So very lots of different programs. As elder law attorneys, one of the programs we focus on, maybe more so than others, is the non-service connected disability pension. So I think most folks understand that if they have been injured as a result of their service, or they have, you know, starting to be more common, we have more and more presumptive conditions that are resulting from Agent Orange exposure or Camp Lejeune water exposure, that they know that they can seek out help from the VA. You know, if I have this because of my service, there's compensation available. But the non-service connected disability pension is cash assistance for the veteran or for their surviving spouse. So even if the veteran never claimed the benefit at any time during their lifetime, their surviving spouse is also eligible to claim that benefit. So it's for wartime veterans. And it's cash assistance to help them for whatever they need. But in most cases, what we're using it for is to help pay for or help supplement paying for long-term care. The eligibility requirements permit somebody who's applying to offset any income that they have by recurring medical expenses. So somebody who maybe thinks, oh, my income is too high, I don't qualify, or they've been told that they don't qualify for the VA benefit because their income is too high, when they start having some recurring healthcare costs, like hiring a caregiver to come into their house, even paying a family member to take care of them, moving into assisted living, all of those things will offset that income that's coming in. And then the VA is looking at your income less those expenses, which could make you eligible. And, you know, there's lots of ways that we can help guide you in getting eligible for that benefit.
All right. So veterans, any questions out there? You can call us as well, too. All of our lines are open. We're going to get to your calls right after the break. So first come, first serve, 866-391-1020. And another question that came up in the conversation. Can a person who was once married to someone collect on someone's Social Security benefits after their death?
Yes. If they were married for at least 10 years.
You've got to explain this to me, because when I heard it, I said, this is a question, I made a mental note to ask you guys. So tell me, how's that work?
Well, if you have been married to somebody for 10 years, you are vested in that person's Social Security. So when they pass away, you will get a benefit. So people often, you know, we have clients who are shocked all the time that all of a sudden their former spouse passed away and their Social Security goes up. So, but yes, that is true. If you've been married for 10 years, you're vested in that person's Social Security.
What happens if there's been multiple people that you were married to, or is it the last person? How does that work?
No, they divide it up. Yep.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good news for a lot of people. When I heard that, I thought, you know what? That's something we have to talk about.
Yeah.
Because that's money that you never really counted on. And I guarantee a lot of people didn't know that until they heard it today.
Right. It exists. So if you've been married for 10 years, you are vested in that Social Security.
All right. McKeesport, McMurray, Wexford, Delmont, Bradenton, Pompano Beach, and Bonita Springs. I've been following you on social media.
Yep.
So excited.
Big things.
Talk to me about that.
So this past week, we have officially opened our Bonita Springs office. So we have our newest attorney, Aaron Fry, who's heading up the charge down there. And we have our new legal assistant / marketing assistant / receptionist, Kelsey, starting on Monday. So we're very excited. James Benedict passed the Florida bar exam. We found that out this week, too. So congratulations to James.
I knew he wouldn't have any trouble.
Me too.
He's pretty good.
But yeah, so we'll have Aaron, Carl, and James all working in our Florida office. And so we're really excited. So things are moving along. We're having our open house down there the second week of November. So we'll be traveling down to
should have been doing
Chris
the show.
In the new office.
Should have been doing the show on location.
Yeah, hey, we could do that.
All right, good stuff. We're going to come back. Phones are going to fill up quickly. So again, our first question is about inheritance tax. Whatever is on your mind, give us a call. 866-391-1020. 866-391-1020. We're talking elder law. Zachariah Brown, PittsburghElderLaw.com. Their number at the office is 724-942-6200. A lot of you snowbirds getting ready to head to Florida. Don't forget Bradenton, Pompano Beach, and the brand new location, Bonita Springs, Florida. We'll be back with more in just a moment. All right, she is ready to go to work on the phone lines, and we are as equally ready to go to work. So if you have any elder law questions, call us right now, 866-391-1020. But before we do that, because that annual enrollment period is just a couple of days away, they've got something really unique and special that you're going to want to definitely check out.
Yeah, so I wanted to make sure that we mentioned it hopefully several times during this hour here. You know, although if you have questions, I'm going to probably try to defer you to a specialist. I don't sell Medicare health insurance, but it's open enrollment period starting the middle of October. So you're going to make your selection for your plan for the new year at Zachariah Brown. All four of our office locations are going in the Pittsburgh area are going to have a Medicare open enrollment open house. We have four of the best and brightest Medicare advisors in the Pittsburgh area who each have donated some time to come into one of our offices and just sit and do open house question and answer. So if you have questions about selecting your plan, if you want to have, you know, somebody go over what your medications are, your doctors, and help you pick, you know, is UPMC right, or, you know, is Highmark right for me, or Aetna, or, you know, what's the difference between these two types of plans, and should I have a Medicare Advantage plan or a Medicare supplement? What's the best for me? These are the experts in the area to definitely ask. So I'm going to go through. All these are on our website. So if you go to our website at PittsburghElderLaw.com, they're all on there. They are open houses, so we, you know, don't need any registrations or anything. But on October 20th, that's going to be the first one. That's in our Murrysville, Delmont location. It's from 10 to 1. On October 25th, in our South Hills office in McMurray, from 10 to 1. On October 24th, I guess I went out of order here, McKeesport office from 10 to 1. And this is the one that's different. This is the afternoon one. Our North Hills office on November 2nd from 1 to 4. So each of these open houses, we will have a Medicare specialist who is happy to answer your questions, help you review plans, and see if they can guide you in the right decision, making a selection for what's right for you for this year.
That's another great resource that Zachariah Brown is giving you. PittsburghElderLaw.com for details. We've got a stacked phone bank, so
okay.
Let's go right to work for Colleen Brakovich, attorney on duty today. Here's Paul in Whitehall. You're on KDKA. Hello, Paul.
Yeah, how are you doing? The form to file an extension for Pennsylvania inheritance tax return, is that an 1846?
There is a form, and actually, I really apologize. I will look it up for you before the end of the show. At the next commercial break, I will look it up on the internet and tell you the actual form number. But there is a form to fill out to get an inheritance tax extension. So typically, inheritance tax returns are due 9 months from the date of death. You have an opportunity to ask for a one-time six-month extension. Now, the extension is only on the filing of the return. If you don't at least make an estimated payment on the taxes, interest will continue to accrue. You can also, and I do it just by emailing the Department of Revenue, so I apologize. I don't know what the form number is off the top of my head because I email it, but I will look that up and I will announce it here on the air before the end of the show what that form number is.
If you get an extension mm-hmm. of 6 months.
Yes.
So the if you pay 3 months after going to 3 months or 4 months or whatever, mm-hmm. you still have to pay the penalty, right?
You still pay they call it interest and penalties. It's really just interest. So the taxes are due at the 9 months from date of death. So I don't know if you made any estimated payment. Sometimes folks will make an estimated payment in the first 3 months from the date of death because you get a 5% discount. if you haven't done that, if you can at least make an estimated payment, then some of the money won't be late. If you've overpaid on the taxes when you file the return, you'll get a refund back. If you've underpaid, you just pay the difference at whatever the rate would be plus the interest. But if you pay nothing, the interest calculus starting at that.
It's prorated per month. I think it's 24%.
It's per day.
Tax.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
It's actually per day. So they charge you your interest per day. So okay, however many days it is late, that's how many days the interest will accrue to.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, thanks for the call. Let's go to Jay in Mount Lebanon. Jay, you're on with attorney Colleen Brackovich, Zachariah Brown. Good afternoon.
Hi. I was fearful that you might have confused listeners. Certainly, I was confused about the vesting in someone else's Social Security, a spouse's Social Security. That it may not be as good as you reacted to anyway, in that I don't think you get both Social Securities if you are a spouse. You get one or the other, the highest.
Yeah. Yes, that's correct. Yes. So let me say, if you are married again and you're already receiving benefits from your latest spouse and their benefits are higher, you're also not going to get an increase. But you're correct. You don't get two Social Securities.
You get the
higher of the two. And that's whether you're widowed, that's whether, you know, you're divorced, but that's correct.
Yeah, see, I was going to run out and get as married to as many working. Women as I could,
No.
It
doesn't work that way.
You were correct.
But thank you for clarifying.
No, you were correct. You said the higher amount.
Yeah.
All right, 866-391-1020. Let's go to Tom in Penn Hills. Tom, how are you?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Good. Welcome to the show.
You mentioned that you can give your children $17,000 a year.
You can give your kids anything you want, but I'm sorry, go ahead.
The person giving the money, do they pay taxes? And the person receiving the money, do they pay taxes?
No. So neither. So if you're only giving $17,000, there's no taxes, okay? Because you don't even have to tell the IRS if you gave up to $17,000. If you go over the $17,000, you have to tell the IRS, but you still don't owe taxes until you have also used up your lifetime limit, which right now is $12.9 million.
Okay. So my question is, if you own a non-IRA account with shares in mutual funds, can you give the mutual funds to your children or does it have to be cash?
No, you could re-register. So you would call up, if it's a non-IRA account, you should just be able to call up the financial institution or your financial advisor who manages that for you and say you want to do a change of ownership, and you would just transfer the account in kind into the name of a child or children.
But I can take $17,000 out of the account and give it, and they can have those shares.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, when you're dealing in shares, you can't necessarily always get it to the penny. But, you could say, hey, there's, you know, 18,000 or there's 15,000 roughly in this many shares. And that's what I'm going to transfer. But yes.
Okay. Second question. I'm a Vietnam veteran. I'm receiving 100% disability. Okay. What benefits, like, for, they said the VA will pay part of your funeral expenses. Is that true?
Yes. So there are funeral benefits. And if you are, you know, interested in kind of setting that all up, I usually refer you to your funeral director. You have your burial benefits and all of that most folks know about the cemetery, the Alleghenies. But there's also cash assistance for your marker, some cash assistance for funeral expenses for your family. Your funeral director is going to ask for your discharge papers, your DD-214 at the time of your death. So if that's something you want to put on file with your funeral director now, or just to let your family know where they can find it. My experience is that most of the times the funeral directors fill out those forms for your family.
Okay, so just contact the funeral home where I'm going to be laid at, and they'll explain everything to me.
Yes.
Okay, well, thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you for your call.
All right, 866-391-1020. Got about a minute before the break. Tell them again about these incredible opportunities that you're going to give people who are going to be a part of the annual enrollment period.
Okay, so our Medicare open enrollment open houses, October 20th in our Murraysville Delmont office, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. October 24th in our McKeesport office from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. October 25th in our South Hills office in McMurray, 10 o'clock to 1 p.m. And then then November 2nd in our North Hills office in Wexford, 1 o'clock to 4 p.m. So more information is available on our website, PittsburghElderLaw.com. However, registration is not necessary. They are open houses.
All right. Again, let me remind you where they are located. McKeesport, McMurray, Wexford, Delmont, Bradenton, Pompano Beach, and Bonita Springs, the brand new location. And PittsburghElderLaw.com is where you can always find out more. And their phone number is 724-942-6200, 724-942-6200. Ted on the south side and Craig in Ohio, we have them coming up. We'd love to hear from you. We've got room on the phone lines. If you want to join us, 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020. Next hour, Beth Andrews, Net Worth Financial Advisors, and Rob Taylor coming up in just a couple of minutes with that news update at the bottom of the hour. It's your Pratt Pack. It is a Saturday afternoon at KDKA. All right, we are back with Colleen Brackovich. I want to tell you about these wonderful events coming up, and then we're going to get right back to your calls. It's Ted and Craig just moments away, but go right ahead.
Okay, thanks. So again, those Medicare open enrollments, check them out on our website, PittsburghElderLaw.com. Our open enrollment, open houses, come and get your questions answered about your specific needs. Talk to a Medicare specialist. It's not going to be the lawyers because we are not Medicare specialists, but like I said, we have four of the best and brightest Medicare specialists from all regions of the city to be available for you to answer your questions. So October 20th, 24th, 25th, and November 2nd. Check those out on our website. While you are on our website, I do want to lead you to another kind of new section that we have, our publications section. So we've all been busy writing books and booklets and making information available to the public. My booklet's the last one that just got added recently, last 2 weeks or so. So I'm just going to go over those quickly too. If you go to our website, PittsburghElderLaw.com, the ones that are available for e-download, you can download those free of charge. Some are not available for e-download, but you can get a hard copy mailed to you, or you can call our office at 724-942-6200 to get a hard copy of any of the publications mailed to you free of charge. So my latest publication is called When a Loved One Passes Away. And so it's a guide to help you navigate the process of handling somebody's affairs when they've passed away. So whether that means that you're somebody's formal executor under the will, or you're just a family member who's trying to help take care of somebody's affairs when they pass away, it's a really good user's guide, both either if you're in that situation or to read it, planning for yourself, thinking about how you want to help your family help finish your affairs when you pass away, making sure that they have the information that they need. Christine's latest booklet, Estate Planning for the Family with Young Children. That's a guide to help you if you have young children at home, what you should be doing as far as wills, guardian, appointing guardians, setting up trusts for those kids. Carl's latest brochure is The Essential Estate Planning. So that is a guide, just what are the, bare minimums, essential, absolute must-haves for estate planning. You know, where do you start? If you haven't done estate planning before, where to start? And then we still have, Christine's book, Preserving Your Past, Protecting Your Future. Carl also has two specific guides on there about applying for Medicaid and understanding the Medicaid rules. So, we are passionate at Zachariah Brown about elder law and making sure that we're educating the community as best we can. These publications are free of charge. You can go to our website and download those. So check that out under our publications tab under PittsburghElderLaw.com.
Yeah, you don't want to miss that rare opportunity. Yeah. PittsburghElderLaw.com. Okay, Craig first and then Ted. Let's go to Craig in Ohio. Hey, Craig, you're on KDKA.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Can you hear me?
I can. Yes, I can.
All right. I was wondering if you could please tell me about that program for veterans. I think it's called Aid in Attendance.
Aid in Attendance? Sure.
And can your brother be the one that takes care of you?
So the answers are, I can tell you about it, and yes, your brother can take care of you. So Aid in Attendance is actually not a separate program from the VA. It's a rating, okay? So the programs that are available to veterans are pension, okay? So that's a non-service-connected disability pension. And then there's the compensation program where you're getting compensated for a loss because of your service. Okay. Under either of those programs, there are additional ratings above and beyond your regular benefit that you're getting. One is for what they call housebound. So if you are housebound, means you can't get out of the house without the help of somebody else. And aid and attendance. Aid and attendance means that you cannot attend to your activities of daily living without the help of somebody else. Okay, so those are bumps up in the payment that you would receive. So aid and attendance is just a rating. It's not the program. But you're probably talking about applying for the non-service-connected disability pension. So you've become disabled later in life, or you've started to have health problems later in life. There is no correlation between your service. It's from something else, but that you qualify. So there's four pieces to the puzzle when you're applying for those pension benefits. And we want all four of them to match if we're going to be eligible. So we have rules about our service. So we need to have 90 days of active duty with one day falling during a period of wartime. The exception is going to be any veterans that have enlisted after September of, 1980. You will have a two-year requirement. But so for most of our veterans who are applying now, our Korean and Vietnam War veterans, you just have 90 days of active duty. And of those 90 days, one day falls during a period of wartime. You have to have a 100% disability rating or be 65 or older, okay? So we can check those boxes there. And then there's rules about your assets and rules about your income, okay? And different assets count and don't count. And, the VA looks at your income in relationship to your outgoing medical expenses. So when somebody starts to pay for medical expenses, it drives their income down that the VA is looking at it. It can make it easier for them to qualify. So paying for somebody to take care of you is a medical expense that they can use. And so, as you indicated, if it's your brother, if you are paying your brother to take care of you, or maybe you are taking care of him and he's paying you, you can use that expense to show the VA that you qualify for the benefit. So we typically want to get those things in writing. We do family caregiver agreements, if that's something we can assist you with, or you want to make sure we're showing copies of the checks that are exchanging hands, so that the VA has actual a paper trail about what's going on. But yes, so that's the benefit. And yes, you can use a family member as long as you are paying them.
All right. Yeah, because I'm trapped in this little cot bed. I can't get around. I can't move. Mm-hmm. And he's the one that tries to help me.
All right. Well, I hope that helped, Craig. Then best of luck. Thank you for the call. Anybody else who wants to get in on this broadcast, time is of the essence. We're down to a segment and a half left, and we have some available lines for the first time in a while. So 866-391-1020. Here's Ted on the south side for Colleen Brackovich, attorney at law, Zachariah Brown, PittsburghElderLaw.com. Hey, Ted, welcome to KDKA.
Long Branch, Pennsylvania, illegals, the Imperial Wizard of the...
All right. Appreciate the call. Thank you very much.
I did want to get back to Paul because I forgot that I didn't give the form. He had asked for what with the Department of Revenue form. So the extension to file a Pennsylvania inheritance tax return is the REV, which stands for the Department of Revenue, REV 1846. Okay, the REV 1846 is the extension to file Pennsylvania inheritance tax return.
All right, so let's talk a little bit before we go to the break about why veterans, there are so many things that are out there, but what I've learned doing this show for multiple years, a lot of them, they just don't know exist until they happen to tune into a show like this. Why do they not have so much information or at least get informed? Or is this stuff just changing so much? Or is it out of sight, out of mind until they may need something?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a big piece of it, too, that, if... Like I said, lots of veterans understand the compensation program. They have an injury or an illness that's a direct result of their service. They know that they can be compensated for that. But I think a lot of folks don't know that there are other benefits for individuals who've been disabled later in life or are starting to have, health specific or, more extenuating health concerns later in life, that they are eligible for these benefits, or they've been told that, yeah, they don't qualify. And I mean, I think that's one thing, at least I have experienced and I've noticed, that families, they don't really understand the correlation between the medical expenses and the income. Because what'll happen is, in their minds, they're thinking, okay, well, I know if I'm going to move into assisted living, I need more money. And so I need to get this money from the VA so that I can afford to stay in my assisted living. But the problem is that then they put in their application for VA benefits and they get denied because they have too much income. They don't meet the income requirement. Well, it requires that they actually go out and start paying, you know, whether that be hiring a caregiver to come into the house, hiring a family caregiver, or making the move into the assisted living. So now they have those recurring medical expenses and now just reapplying. And yes, now they are eligible for the VA benefit. So it's not that they're never going to be eligible for the benefit. It's just that they needed those medical expenses first. And I think that that's where a lot of people fail. They apply prospectively saying, oh, hey, I'm going to get this money. And then when I get this money, I'm going to hire a caregiver. Or when I get this money, I'm going to move into the assisted living. But in reality, they need those expenses first to show the VA that they qualify so that they can get that money in.
So, let me ask you. So we were talking about 5 years, that plan ahead type of thing earlier. So if you're a veteran and you're a sound mind and body and somewhat healthy, but you're looking at about a 5-year window, wouldn't it make sense to set up an appointment and get a plan now with Zachariah Brown to know exactly what your benefits are?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, so the VA, so Medicaid, the Medicaid look back is 5 years. The VA only looks back 3 years. So their look back's a little bit different. But in theory, yes, ideally, because a lot of veterans are going to fail on that net worth test. Okay. And it's really not fair. You know, all veterans sacrifice the same for us, right?
Right.
You know, they all were willing to lay it all on the line for our freedoms. So why, just because this veteran did a little bit better than another, why should they not be eligible for these benefits? Okay, so we want to help all veterans. So if you have too much net worth, okay, the VA this year permits you to have a little more than $150,000 in net worth and be eligible for this benefit. So there are things that we can do to help position you to be eligible, but the VA is going to look back and see, what did you do with your money for the last 3 years? And if you had money that you gave away or you put into a trust or you did something with it to make it not available to you at the time you're applying for benefits, they issue you a penalty, which is basically just a waiting period. But they're going to say, okay, well, you did have money, you gave it away, and so we're not giving you any benefits for the next 3 years, the next 5 years. So, because although they only look back three, the VA could penalize you up to 5 years. And that's why it's kind of scary, too, if you apply at the wrong time.
Never,
so
never catch up after that.
Right, right. So, you know, there's a place to do planning in advance. And, you know, we never really know when that day is going to come that we're going to need the care. So.
Yeah, but I think if you are collecting Social Security or soon to, if you don't have an elder law plan in place, you better get one in place.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens if you, because I remember starting the show, it was $9,000 a month, and now it's like $14,000 a month. So what happens if you are writing checks for it, and then your money is exhausted? Can you get Medicaid after that money?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you know, Medicaid is the medical assistance health program that pays for medical costs for folks who are of limited income and assets, right? That's what we all understand Medicaid to be. But Medicaid is the largest provider of long-term care nationally and in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Their home care programs and their nursing home care programs, lots and lots and lots of folks are eligible for them or are working their way towards becoming eligible for them. So you are right, Rob. If you write that check too many times, you're going to dwindle your assets. I think, you know, people get this perception that the nursing homes take things from you. You know, you go to a nursing home and somebody comes in and starts taking your things, taking your house, taking your money. It's just that it's very expensive. And you get that check or that bill for $13,000, $14,000 a month, month after month for too long, you're going to keep writing that check. You're going to dwindle your assets. And yes, you absolutely could be eligible for Medicaid if you spend everything you have. But, you know, we're in the business of trying to help families protect and preserve, you know, and it's not just about protecting money for greedy kids to inherit in the future. It's talking about, how are we supporting these individuals who need the care? You know, Medicaid care is not, home care is not 24-hour care. Medicaid nursing home care is 24-hour care. But who wants to be in a nursing home, right? We all want to try to stay home. We all want to care for our loved ones at home. But if we can only get certain hours of the day covered by Medicaid, and we have to be able to pay the other hours privately, well, if we have exhausted everything we have no options, and our loved one is going into a nursing home. If we can put a protective plan in place that we can protect and preserve assets, hey, we might be able to keep that loved one at home because we can afford to pay for the hours privately that Medicaid is not providing.
724-942-6200, McKeesport, McMurray, Wexford, Delmont, Bradenton, Pompano Beach, and their new location in Bonita Springs, Florida. 724-942-6200, PittsburghElderLaw.com. All right, we got a call right away on another veterans question from Phil. He's calling from Beaver, and he's on KDK with Colleen Brackovich. Go ahead, Phil.
Hey, I was wondering if I could have access to the commissary up at the airport. I was in the Army back in the 50s. I was still under the Korean conflict thing, but financially, I guess I'm not eligible for any other benefits. Could I get into the commissary thing? I went up there one time.
Yeah.
They gave me the runaround a little bit.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you know what? I don't know anything about getting eligible for the commissary. You know, we help families with their care needs and getting eligible for those benefits. And it's just not something that I have ever learned about. So I apologize. But you might want to call your local American Legion or VFW or your Veterans Service, local Veterans Service organization. There's several in the city of Pittsburgh, if that's where you're from, or there are some, you know, in the surrounding counties as well, Veterans Affairs offices that might be able to assist you with that. But I do not know the answer to how to get access to that.
I've driven by that place every day. I've kind of wanted to go in there myself. But I can tell you that if you do what she said, someone will let you know. And I'm sure they can get you an answer quickly. All right. So let's talk about this event coming up. And let me just tell you, annual enrollment is around the bend. And this is not just for people signing up for the first time. It's for people that want to revisit their, you know, their benefits as well. So this is for not just first time signer ups. This is for everybody, because when that annual enrollment hits, whether you're soon to be 65, you're currently 65, or you're over 65 and you've been collecting, these are some definite events that you want to be a part of. You can find out about everything at PittsburghElderLaw.com. But Colleen's going to tell you about what they're doing. Very special stuff as we get ready for the annual enrollment, days away, beginning in October for Medicare.
Yeah. So, as like Rob said, it isn't just when you're signing up for Medicare the first time, because you lived the last year, right? Costs on everything are going up. So, you know, maybe your co-pays aren't fitting into your budget, or, you know, maybe you needed a whole lot more medical care than you had anticipated, or, you know, maybe you're concerned about your overinsured. Your premiums are really high and you're not really getting any benefit from it. So those are the kinds of questions that you can ask. You know, speaking with a Medicare enrollment specialist, you know, they are all independent specialists. They don't work for Highmark or work for UPMC. They are independent. So they're going to be able to sit down with you and go through and say, okay, what's your monthly budget? You know, what's going to be comfortable in your monthly budget? And, you know, or, you know, what were your out-of-pocket costs last year? And, you know, is that too high? You know, should we maybe look at increasing your premium a little bit more so that your costs per use are going to be less? Or maybe your medications that you take aren't covered by this plan, but they are covered by this plan. So just going through your individual situation to make sure that you are selecting a plan that meets your budget, that meets your healthcare needs, and that's going to be a good fit for you for the next 12 months.
Listen, I know a little bit about this stuff because obviously I do programs about it. And I'm telling you, this is not your grandparents' or great-grandparents' Medicare. This is exceptional stuff. Every type of healthcare imaginable, gym memberships, all sorts of things. You need to attend these events. So again, tell them where they are and how they can attend.
Okay, they are in our offices. So in our four offices in the Pittsburgh area, our Murraysville Delmont office is going to kick us off with on October 20th between 10 and 1. Okay, our McKeesport office will be October 24th, again between 10 and 1. Our South Hills office will be October 25th between 10 and 1. And the afternoon session is going to be in our Wexford office on November 2nd between 1 and 4.
All right, so let me ask you, we got about 2 minutes left in the broadcast. You know, every October is Fire Safety Month, so you got to change your smoke detectors and your fire alarms and all the things that you have, and carbon monoxide detectors. You know, they always tell us to upgrade. We're talking about Medicare, revisiting it. If you have an elder law plan, should you, if you've lived five years longer than you thought, should you go get a refresher course or what?
Sure. Well, I mean, it's always a good idea to take a look at those documents. You know, maybe you do it on your birthday or around your birthday, or maybe you do it when you change the batteries in your smoke detectors. I don't know. But, you know, if you take those documents out and take a look at them, you know, do, you know, the individuals that you have put in positions of being your executor or being your power of attorney or your alternates, you know, did they pass away, or are they having, you know, medical issues in their own life now that would make it difficult for them to be able to fill those roles for you? You know, should I pick somebody else there? You know, do I have my parents on my will as my executor? and they're in their 90s now, and maybe an adult child would be more appropriate to put in that position. Looking at those things, you know, how about distributions? You know, when things pass out to you know, family members, I, you know, meet with families all the time where, you know, unfortunately, family dynamics change. Things happen. People fall away from the family. And so sometimes they want to reshuffle who is getting what or what percentages, or, you know, maybe they don't want to leave grandma's wedding jewelry to, you know, their daughter anymore. They're going to leave it to their granddaughter instead. So there's always things to look at, things to contemplate. Maybe, you know, there's changes to be made. And so you want to take a look at those documents and just make sure that they say what you want them to say.
Well, and here's the other thing, too. When somebody dies, maybe that's your only beneficiary, mm-hmm. and you're so busy, this and that, and you're in failing health, all of a sudden, it's a month or two down the road, and you're like, my will, that's my beneficiary. I got to change my will. So you just have to have a good understanding of what's going on in your life and what the timeline is, right?
Yep. Yep, absolutely.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Rob.
I know you got a busy weekend with the family, so we'll let you go. And I'm going to be here for a little bit longer doing some work with Mr. Dentisi. Some commercials are here next week. And we've got Beth Andrews, Net Worth Financial Advisor, coming up next hour. All sorts of great things. Natalie's going to be here later today. So stay right where you are. And remember, how do you get a hold of them? It is so simple. 724-942-6200. 724-942-6200. Now remember, they've got the offices, as you know, in this region, in McKeesport, McMurray, Wexford, Delmont, but Florida, along with Bradenton and Pompano Beach, so excited. Big grand opening. Lots of good things happening with their Bonita Springs location. Again, the number that will get you in touch with everything they do, 724-942-6200, 724-942-6200, PittsburghElderLaw.com. Thank you.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.